Thank you and good morning, everyone. So we're going to be talking about interseeding of perennial hayfield as an alternative to conventional re-establishing while transitioning to a legume hay rotation for improved forage productivity as well as environmental and reducing environmental impacts. I'd just like to acknowledge the contribution of my colleagues at Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in the Atlantic provinces, as well as Dave Burton at Dalhousie University in Truro, Nova Scotia, and technical assistance that was provided by my technician Ed St. George and a number of co-op students as well. So just some background quickly. I guess high nitrate concentrations in ground and surface waters in Atlantic Canada are a real concern for human, animal, and environmental health. Denitrification losses, including nitrous oxide emissions, are also potentially higher in this humid region when compared with others. And a high proportion of farmland in Atlantic Canada is tiled land. These systems and their water quality are an integral component of the hydrological continuum and an avenue of release of nitrogen to the environment. Just some more background. Mature perennial hayfield and leguminous forage rotations are known to be more efficient in utilizing applied nitrogen when compared to rotations such as continuous corn and corn, soybean, wheat rotations typical of dairy operations in Atlantic Canada. These mature stands can accumulate appreciable plant and soil nitrogen capital over time. However, they have limited life, quality declines over time, the stand thins out, stands become weedy, and eventually they have to be re-established. And when they're plowed down, all this accumulated end capital is lost by nitrate leaching. So no-till or strip-till interseeding of these perennial hay fields is an alternative to improve productivity of low-yielding forage hay stands while avoiding some of the costs of conventional re-establishment and also reducing environmental impacts such as soil erosion and nitrate leaching. So in fitting the theme of this morning's session, what have we learned? At our research, water quality research facility in Kentville, we did a study between 2007 and 2012 looking at nitrate loads to tile drainage on two rotations typical of Atlantic dairy farms. The first was a perennial hay field and the second was a corn, soybean, wheat rotation. And we used spring applied liquid dairy manure as the principal end source. And basically what we found was that the perennial hayfield is about 2.5 times more efficient on average than a corn soy wheat rotation. That's over a 6-year period where your accumulated nitrogen inputs are pretty much the same, although not exactly the same every year. Except when you re-establish the perennial hayfield, as we did here in 2010, you get a tremendous release of nitrate. And it's like a game of snakes and ladders. You're back to square one and you have to start again with nitrogen. So those are the growing season losses. And if you look at the non-growing season losses, it's exactly the same thing. You can see there in the non-growing season after 2010 when we did the establishment, the nitrate levels are exceptionally high. There's a huge loss of nitrogen. And then things settle back to normal afterwards. So that's the backdrop to the decision to conduct this research to see if we can interseed the perennial hayfield and avoid conventional re-establishment and at the same time improve forage yield and quality and conservation of soil nitrogen. So it's a 4-year study and we're just coming to the end of the second growing season, so I'm going to show you some results that we have to date. But firstly, just some quick notes about the Annapolis Valley's maritime climate. The Annapolis Valley is the main agricultural region in Atlantic Canada. So we have an annual precipitation of 1,150 millimeters. A substantial proportion of that does fall in the growing season. It's a relatively short, cool growing season by the standards of some of the presentations that I guess that have been made this morning. We have corn heat units of 2,925. Our July daily max is only 26 degrees Celsius. Just some quick points about the experimental site and soil. It's a pretty typical soil of the Annapolis Valley, quite representative of that used by growers commercially. It's in an upland position on a fairly uniform slope. You can see there just some of the chemical and physical parameters. It's in perfectly drained, coarse, loamy upper soil material. It takes in water quite well, so we don't have a lot of surface water runoff. The highest saturated hydraulic conductivity for the whole profile as measured during very high tile flow rates is about 6 millimeters per hour. And the subsoil is firm, coarse, loamy, glacial, till subsoil. It's quite compact, but at the same time quite porous as well. So the experimental design, we had six experimental units or plots, each 100 meters long and 12.2 meters wide. That 12.2 meters is the old drain spacing, tile drain spacing in Atlantic Canada. Each plot has a 4-inch tile line running down the center at a depth of 1.2 meters. The treatments were two hayfield improvements, three reps, and statistical design was a randomized complete block design. So the 2013 experimental activities, basically what we did during 2013, we had the perennial hayfield plots, which was a mix of Timothy and Brome, previously established, and we just maintained them just to get a base year on the soil nitrate loads. So all experimental units were treated identically, spring applied liquid dairy manure. We had two cuts of hay, June 6th and August 28th, and additional N fertilizer after the first cut. And then in 2014, which is the beginning of this last growing season, we implemented the treatments. So in the first set of plots, we applied spring liquid dairy manure, and then we moldboard plowed and followed up with disc and harrows over a 2-week period. And we seeded on May the 10th to a mixture of 12, 6, and 10 kilograms of alfalfa, Timothy, and Brome per hectare, which is locally a very common recommended seeding mix. And then the second set of plots, we applied the spring liquid dairy manure at the same time, at the same rate. And then we used a Hunter rotary strip tiller to interseed alfalfa at a rate of 15 kilograms per hectare. And we did, after that, 2 weeks later, clip the stand once just to give the alfalfa a bit more sunlight and a chance to establish itself. So here's just some shots of activities at the site. Here you can see the Hunter rotary strip tiller. Basically, it has a series of tillers that are about 2 inches wide, and it tills the strip, and then you can see the seed shoots there, and the alfalfa comes down the seed shoot, and it's buried by the material that the rototiller thrashes up. And we rolled it after that, just to give you a firmer seed bed. And then, of course, the conventional re-establishment by plowdown was seeded with a brilliant seeder at the rates that I mentioned. Just some pictures of the harvest activities as well. So, measurements. So, nitrate leaching. at Kentville's water quality research facility, which is basically a tile drainage site, we have instrumented systems for flow monitoring and sample collection in each experimental unit. So we collect composite drainage water samples at 14-day intervals, and they're analyzed for nitrate using standard Technicon water analyzer methods. We express the loads as kilograms of nitrate in per hectare per growing season or per non-growing season. And then we did some denitrification loss work as well for 2013 using the acetylene inhibition method on soil cores. Then we used an interpolation method to accumulate the losses to determine the growing season accumulations of nitrogen loss per hectare per growing season by denitrification. So just firstly some hay and legume yields in 2013 when we just ran the plots for baseline maintenance. We had good yields in both sets of plots and a pretty even distribution of weights there, you can see. And in 2014, the interseeded plots, we had a first cut there, which was a lower yield than in 2013, mostly. Am I 10 minutes? Okay. I better move on. Those are the yields. And the hay legume quality there was pretty good in 2013. We were a little disappointed with the crude protein in 2014 in the established plots. That's the nitrogen applied versus removed. I'll move that one. The hay ratio in the second cut in 2014, the hay to alfalfa ratio was a little disappointing. And I think it's because the alfalfa emergence was good, but the plants remained as an understory in both treatments. And we expect the proportions to improve in 2015. So there's just a shot of the hay field, and you can see this is after the second cut. You can see the there's plenty of alfalfa there. The nitrate loads in response to these two treatments, you can see in the 2013-14 non-growing season, that's the two lines on the left-hand side, no differences there, which is what we expect. And then you can see a breakout in nitrate loads in the 2014 growing season following the plow down of the conventionally re-established plots. We're not quite finished the 2014 growing season. The last samples still have to come in, so I expect those two lines to converge, to diverge a bit more. Here's just the loads expressed as cumulative kilograms per hectare per growing season and non-growing season. If you look at the 2014 growing season, you can see for the first time there we're starting to lose more nitrate in the conventionally re-established plots, and I expect that difference to increase this coming winter. Some growing season denitrification losses for 2013. What we discovered then, it's an exceptionally variable thing to measure, and in 2014 we intensified the number of sample events that we had just so that we could get a better handle on it, but I don't have any data to show you there. So we're looking at about between 45 and 110 grams of nitrogen per hectare per day as a daily denitrification rate loss in these systems, or cumulative losses of 10 to 25 kilograms. So in summary then, the emergence and survival of alfalfa in the strips seeded treatment was excellent, but the competition for sunlight reduced growth so that we didn't see a lot of alfalfa in the first yields in the summer. Higher yields and lower leaching losses in strip seeded treatments in the first year, we noticed. In 2014-15 non-growing season, we are expecting higher amounts of leaching in the conventional established treatment. And two cuts and better yields and quality and lower leaching losses expected in 2015 and 2016 for both treatments. And it appears at this stage that strip till interseeding as a cost-effective and environmentally sustainable means of hayfield renovation does show some promise at least. And we'll continue this research for another 2 years. Thank you very much.